इन्होंने कानून में लिख दिया सारी फाइलें एलजी के पास जाया करेगी। तो भाई साहब ये जनता को नहीं मानते, ये सुप्रीम कोर्ट को नहीं मानते, ये जनतंत्र को नहीं मानते, ये संविधान को नहीं मानते, ये तो गलत बात है।
Recently, the Parliament had passed the Government of National Capital Territory of Delhi Amendment Act 2021. A lot many opposition party members have raised issues regarding this particular bill. But what does this bill exactly mean? To know more about that, today we are joined by Pranav Menon. He is a research scholar at the Center of Law and Governance at JNU. Hi, Pranav, and welcome to DH Radio.
Hi, Aman. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here on the show. Pranav, this is an amendment act, right? So can you tell us about the existing act before, we get into the details of what the amendment that the government has brought in? Can you tell us about what the original legislation was about and why was it brought?
Before we come to the original legislation, we need to understand why such legislations existed for union territories in the past. Previously, Delhi was governed under Article 239. Which was for administration of union territories. Now, this particular provision was passed by the 7th Amendment Act in 1956 to ensure administration of union territories, and different regions were governed by this particular provision. But thereafter, another amendment was made in 1962, which is Article 239A. So this amendment was in the context of how the union territory of Puducherry was ought to be governed, and in that context, how a legislative assembly was created in Puducherry. But interestingly, Article 239A, it mentions the existence of elected members as well as nominated members. Coming to the existing legislation, the Government of National Capital Territory of Delhi Act 1991. This was an outcome of the 69th Amendment Act in 1991. And this 69th Amendment Act also led to the enactment, the insertion of Article 239AA in the Constitution. So Article 239AA is a fairly detailed provision. Basically, this particular act, which we are talking about in 1991, this act was enacted to provide teeth to how Article 239, the provisions under Article 239AA are to be enacted. So before we get into the existing legislation, it's imperative for us to understand what Article 239AA talks about and how it is different from Article 239A in the context of Puducherry. It's giving Delhi as a state, Delhi as a union territory, a special status. And this was also recognized by the Supreme Court in the prior decision in 2018 as well as in 2019. There were two decisions regarding this. So before we get into the details of the act, I think it'll be better if I can explain what 239AA, the provision, exactly means.
Yes.
So is that okay, Emma?
Yes. Go ahead, Pranav. I think people who are listening would actually want to know what these two particular pieces of legislation are, and then we can go ahead and, put them in the current context and see how they fit in. Yeah.
239AA has 7 provisions, to be precise. The first provision, 239AA1, talks about how the Union Territory of Delhi shall now be called as NCT of Delhi, and the administrator appointed under Article 239 shall now be designated as Lieutenant Governor. So this is how the terms of Lieutenant Governor and this idea of the Union Territory of Delhi being called as NCT of Delhi came into being. Then Article 239A Clause 2 has 3 sub-clauses, which says A, there shall be a legislative assembly for the National Capital Territory and seats filled through members chosen by direct elections from the constituents of NCT, from the territorial constituencies of NCT. Now, this particular provision clearly mentions that there will be a legislative assembly, something similar to 239A, where even in Puducherry there is a legislative assembly. But the key word over here is direct elections, which means the members are chosen by direct elections based on the territorial constituencies in the particular region. Although in the aspects of election, which is the next provisions, with regard to the seats and the division of constituency and the function of legislature, as well as how the election is to be conducted. All this, the primacy is given to the center to decide on how the elections would be conducted, how many constituencies would be there in Delhi. But interestingly, what is imperative for us to know is the A clause, which talks about there shall be a legislative assembly. And so the use of the word shall, it's also how constitutional interpretation emphasizes on there being direct elections in this particular case. Now, coming to 239A clause 3, this particular provision talks about, subject to the provisions of the constitution, the legislative assembly shall have the power to legislate upon all matters included in the state and concurrent list, except for those in entries 1, 2 and 18. Now, entry 1 is public order, entry 2 is police, and entry 18 is land. So, except for these three entries, the legislative assembly has the power, shall have the power to legislate upon all matters in the state and concurrent list. So, this particular provision also grants the primacy to the legislative assembly to legislate upon matters enumerated in the state and concurrent list, except for these three entries, as I've mentioned. Moving ahead, although yes, this provision talks about how the powers of the state government cannot be something which can derogate the powers of the parliament. And in case a law is made by the parliament before or after a particular law is made by the legislative assembly, then the law of the parliament would prevail. This is called as repugnancy in constitutional law terms. Nonetheless, apart from this particular clause, that if the parliament legislates on a particular issue in the union list and the state also tries to legislate on that issue, which is there in the state list as well, and there is an overlap, there's a conflict between the two, then in that case, the law made by the parliament would prevail. So this is clause 3. Now, coming to clause 4 and 5, which are very important clauses, I feel, this is the crux of the debate in regard to the recent amendments.
Exactly, yeah.
Clause 4, there shall be a council of ministers, not more than 10% of the legislative assembly, with this chief minister at the head to aid and advise the lieutenant governor in exercise of his function with respect to the legislative assembly, has powers to make laws except in so far as he must use his discretion. So this particular clause mentions that the council of ministers, which should not be more than 10% of the legislative assembly and with this chief minister, are at the head to aid and advise the lieutenant governor. Similar clause is present in for the union government as well. And since India, we follow the principle of parliamentary democracy, even in our state legislatures, the principle is of that, where the authorities like the governor or the lieutenant governor are just titular heads. They don't have the power, or the president, they don't have the power to act on their own discretion. Most of their powers vest in the collective responsibility of the members of legislature or the members of the parliament who are part of the council of ministers in either case. So in this scenario, what I believe is that the aid and advice, this particular clause, even if you look at Article 75 of the constitution, mm-hmm. which talks about aid and advice in the context of the prime minister, similarly, this clause also talks about aid and advice in the context of the chief minister and the council of ministers. And the proviso to this clause, now this was the main debate in the 2018 Supreme Court decision. So the proviso said that, provided in the case of difference of opinion between LG and ministers, lieutenant governor and ministers, the lieutenant governor would refer the matter to the president and would act as per his decision. And if pending, the lieutenant governor may take the competent decision as is necessary to him to take immediate action and take such steps which is deemed necessary. Now, this particular interpretation in the 2018 decision was held to be that it cannot be beyond the scope of representative democracy, and it cannot be taking away the powers of the Council of Ministers. Even though the LG has the power to refer the matter to the president, either they have the power to, he has the power to the, to refer the matter, or he must listen to the aid and advice of the Council of Ministers. This was what was Justice Deepak Mishra's decision in Government of NCT Delhi versus Union of India in 2018. I will come to talk about some of the detailed aspects which were spoken about that decision in a bit. But this particular proviso is one of the main crux which is in debate with the new amendments as well. The fifth is again the...
The interpretation of the proviso was the one which led the then government to move court for the proper interpretation.
Correct. So the then government had moved the Delhi High Court first, and the Delhi High Court had ruled in favor of certain aspects. It had ruled in favor of the Delhi government, but certain aspects it could not decide. So it said that it would be ideal to refer it to the Supreme Court, and then it went to a 3-judge bench. And it, later on, it went to a 5-judge bench. And thereafter, also in the second matter, subsequent to the constitutional bench decision, there was a 3-judge bench decision on certain matters where how the powers of the elected government of Delhi vis-a-vis the lieutenant governor should be decided in the context of services and anti-corruption bureau and different aspects. So that particular decision also laid down a lot of ground on how federalism or cooperative federalism has to be understood in this context. So, moving on, clause 6 is another important clause where it says that the Council of Ministers shall be collectively responsible to the Legislative Assembly. Now, this is also similar to Article 74, clause 3, where the executive power of the government is seen that it is vested through the Assembly and the ability of the Assembly to conduct its business. Just for insight, Article 239AB, this particular article is much like Article 356 of the Constitution. It can only be invoked if state government in the National Capital Territory of Delhi cannot carry out its functions as per Article 239AA. This was the main provision around which the 1991 bill was passed, and the 1991 bill thereafter had several clauses. Like, it had part 2 which enumerated the functions of the Legislative Assembly, and part 3 which spoke about delimitation of constituencies, part 4 which are certain provisions regarding LG and ministers. Now, the particular amendments which are being done in the latest act is, firstly, the amendment is made to section 21 of the act. So section 21 of this act dealt with restrictions on laws passed by Legislative Assembly with respect to certain matters. This particular amendment which the government has made is that the bill now provides that the term government referred to in section 21 of the act, referred to in any law made by the Legislative Assembly, will imply the lieutenant governor. When I say that the term government in section 21 implies with regard to any law made by Legislative Assembly, will imply the lieutenant governor. That means any executive power which is being performed by the government of Delhi is being compromised, and all that executive power is now directly vested in the LG. So this is when Arvind Kejriwal is accusing the center of what is the point of having elections in a state if my executive power of being chief minister, the Aam Aadmi Party's executive power of running the government, is taken away to conduct any, implement any laws which is made by the Legislative Assembly. And now that would imply lieutenant governor. So for exercise of executive power, there will have to be again a deference to the lieutenant governor, which goes beyond the 2018 decision as well.
Initially, the original legislation had some ambiguities, and the government tried to fill in the ambiguities by bringing this legislation, which is basically the government's interpretation in clear terms of what it actually meant. You also told about the Supreme Court judgment. So could you just elaborate on the Kejriwal Jung tussle, and then we'll come back to how the Supreme Court observed this particular case, and then we can come back to the current amendment.
So the Kejriwal Jung tussle goes back all the way to 2015, when first time the Kejriwal government was elected, and then in coalition with Congress, and then how they left that coalition government. And then there was a time when there was president's rule in Delhi, where the lieutenant governor kept prolonging the president's rule without dissolution of the house. So this was one of the beginning of how there was this tussle between the LG and the government, the Aam Aadmi Party. And then thereafter, the Supreme Court also had made a decision that although we cannot interfere in this matter and the president has 1 year time to decide on whether the house should be called, whether there should be dissolution of the house and fresh election should be called or not. It was kept in abeyance for 6-8 months and Aam Aadmi Party had then filed a petition in the Supreme Court, and the central government at that point of time had questioned the jurisdiction of the Aam Aadmi Party to file the case in the first place. Nonetheless, that was one aspect where the LG was not following the correct mandate and dissolving the house, because the LG kept waiting on forming the alternate government when both the Congress Party as well as the Aam Aadmi Party had clearly told that they would not make a coalition government with the BJP and no form of alternate government could be established in that regard. And fresh elections would have been best called as soon as possible. But the reason which was cited for delaying the fresh elections at that point of time was how it cost so much for the exchequer and elections just happened 6 months ago. And the president has the power to withhold the bill for another 1 year and things like that. But nonetheless, that elections was later on called in October. And Kejriwal government then got a thumping majority. Thereafter, then it's been on the interpretation of 2009A clause 4 and the proviso, where there has been a difference of opinion between the government and the lieutenant governor. And in that context, with regard to different aspects such as parliamentary secretaries and appointment of certain members and how the state government wanted to exercise jurisdiction over the anti-corruption bureau and over areas in Delhi, and the central government tried to resist it using the LG. So that was one of the key contentions which was decided in the 2019 judgment, whether the central government offices could also, which are posted in Delhi, could also come under the cognizance of the anti-corruption bureau exercised by the state government. And then other aspects regarding the Delhi electricity reforms, whether the consent of the LG was required or not in this context. And this electricity was a key mandate through which Kejriwal won his elections. Yeah. So such were the issues with regard to services and anti-corruption and dispute between center or state on setting up a commission of inquiry, whether the LG can exercise its discretion or the state government can set up this commission of inquiry on its own. So such were some of the issues which led to the tussle, and these aspects were later decided in the 2019 decision. Coming to what the Supreme Court held in the 2018 government of NCT versus Union of India decision, firstly, it laid a strong emphasis on representative democracy. And it mentioned clearly that how prior concurrence of the LG would negate this ideal in all costs. So it mentioned representative democracy to be a fundamental principle of the constitution, and somewhere how Delhi as a union territory, it had some special status, and the LG must mandatorily communicate certain decisions of the Council of Ministers as per Chapter 5 of the Transaction of Business Rules. This is one of the amendments which has been made in the present bill passed recently. The Supreme Court categorically had held that the LG had to communicate decisions of the Council of Ministers if they are done as per Chapter 5 of the Transaction of Business Rules, which the Legislative Assembly has the power to ascertain. And these powers were conferred to the Legislative Assembly under Article 239AA3, subclause 3A. Thereafter, the court emphasized on having a purposive interpretation of Article 239AA, and it says that the expression aid and advise in Article 239AA obviates the requirement of LG's consent on every matter, there must be pragmatic and collaborative federalism, which will fall to ground if the union has overriding powers in matters for which the legislative assembly should ideally exercise such powers. Court was categorical in its emphasis on maintaining that federal balance which our constitution provides for. The rationale of having a difference of opinion, the court said that it's not that in every matter the LG cannot intervene, but the rationale to intervene must be demonstrable and it must contain sound reason. The power which the LG exercises in this context is one of exception and not a norm. That rule, it should be exercised with discretion, caution, and LG must exercise this power using constitutional objectivity. And then the court enumerated a lot of principles around how the difference of opinion must meet standards of constitutional morality. So the difference of opinion in this case being between the Council of Ministers and the Lieutenant Governor, such difference of opinion must be internally sorted out between the two executive authorities, and how they must build a form of constitutional morality and trust and foster the principle of collaborative federalism and constitutional balance. So these were some of the aspects which was mentioned by Justice Deepak Mishra.
Yeah.
I'll just mention one or two aspects more which Justice Chandrachud and Justice Ashok Bhushan mentioned.
Okay.
Justice Chandrachud, while emphasizing on differences, mentioned that differences constitute the essence of any democratic government, and the institutional process of decision making therefore must be mature and tolerant. So it should not be something which is to usurp the power from a particular authority. It must more be based on the principle of devolving that power, and it should be done in a way which is mature and tolerant, which the present act does not seem like. Justice Ashok Bhushan went to the extent of talking about the powers of the LG in the sense that communication of the decision to the LG by the Council of Ministers merely for the purpose of enabling him to formulate an opinion is not a requirement which on the basis of a difference per se. Only a reasonable time gap should exist when the decision is passed to the LG, and that much time is sufficient for the LG scrutiny for a particular matter, and the government of NCT of Delhi can implement decisions once communicated to the LG and they are seen by the LG. So clearly the court emphasized on the LG following a similar titular functions like the governor or the president has in the context of how our democracy has given these powers to such authorities. And it is imperative to note that if you look at the Punchi Commission report as well as the Sarkaria Commission report, which talk about center-state relations, they clearly specified on enumerating certain restrictions on powers of governor with regard to emergency, because they are nominated members, there must be less deference given to them than elected members who hold the confidence of the people. And also because such nominated members are often the agents of the central government. We have read about the governor being the agent of the central government, and the LG is an equivalent character in the context of the case of NCT of Delhi, because the LG somewhere falls in between a governor and an administrator. The administrator is like a complete bureaucrat with regard to the central government and how he is appointed and how he has to function based on the central government. The governor does have more discretion than the president, but he's also an agent of the central government in the context that he's appointed by the center. LG also in that case, because he's appointed by the center, although the position is a constitutional position, the position does not have the authority to reign or rule over people. He can just administer like how a titular head should administer. So there have been four amendments which have been made to the present bill. We spoke about one earlier about how the term government referred to in section 21 is now to be understood as Lieutenant Governor in the context of any law made by the Legislative Assembly. So it takes away the executive power away from the government and transfers it to the Lieutenant Governor, and in the aspect of any executive decision which is taken by the government then requires the consent of the left-wing government, going against the Supreme Court decision. The second amendment is to Section 24, where in this particular case, the proviso has been amended in the context of Section 43. It says incidentally covers any matters which falls outside the purview of the powers conferred on the Legislative Assembly. This particular clause phrase is inserted into the Act in Section 24, Clause D, where it says incidentally covers any matters which falls outside the purview of the powers conferred on the Legislative Assembly. The next amendment is on the conduct of business. This is an important amendment. So basically this amendment is done to Section 33, where the conduct of business which the Legislative Assembly had the autonomy to decide previously, now it says that the conduct of business, the words which shall not be inconsistent with the rules of procedure and conduct of business in the House of People shall be inserted. So the conduct of business, now it must depend on the Act allows the Legislative Assembly to make rules to regulate the procedure and conduct of business in the Assembly. Now, because of the amendment, such rules now must be consistent with how the Lok Sabha makes the rules of procedure and conduct of business. So essentially, they are trying to align the legislative powers of the Legislative Assembly on how the business is to be conducted in line with how it's being conducted in the Parliament, where the centre is in the majority. Third is with regard to aspects on inquiry with regard to administrative decision. So the bill prohibits the Legislative Assembly from making any rule to enable itself or its committees to consider matters of day-to-day administration of NCT of Delhi and conduct any inquiry into administrative decisions. What the amendment tries to do is it tries to prohibit the Legislative Assembly to make any rules to form committees, and based on that it determines how matters are to be considered on a day-to-day basis with regard to administration in the NCT of Delhi. Any committee which is made in that context, that will be declared as void by the government. Just to clarify, this amendment is made in Section 33, Subclause B. And the proviso of Section 33, Subclause B had given the power to the Legislative Assembly to determine on which committees it can form for the day-to-day administration of the capital or inquiries with regard to administrative decisions. Now, that power is taken away from the Legislative Assembly, and the Legislative Assembly cannot make any rules in the formulation of such committees which are to do with the day-to-day administration of the National Capital Region as well as with regard to administrative decisions in the National Capital Region. So anything made in contravention to Section 33, where such a committee is formed which is not like how the conduct of business is conducted in the Lok Sabha, such rules would be declared as void. Lastly, the Act requires the LG to reserve certain bills passed by the Legislative Assembly for consideration to the President. Because of the amendment, this power is diminished, and the power of Delhi High Court to intervene, or through which the President may directly be referred to that matter, or aspects dealing with the salaries, allowances of the Speaker, Deputy Speaker, and the ministers of the Assembly, or aspects relating to the official languages of the Assembly, all these aspects are now to be reserved as per the consent of the Lieutenant Governor. So now the Act, because of how assent to these bills are changed, this is amendment to Section 44, the proviso to subsection 2. These amendments in a way allows the LG greater scope to intervene in executive action taken by the government in the Assembly. These were the amendments which the 2021 bill brings about, and in a way it is taking away some of the powers of cooperative federalism which the Union government so cherishes as it speaks about it, but in its actions it seems otherwise. Nonetheless, To conclude, I would like to say that principle of constitutionalism embodies that there must be limited government, that any form of government requires greater checks and balances. Many people have compared this act to how the power of Article 370 was to Jammu and Kashmir, and how, although that particular clause was much more gruesome to an already declared state, because Delhi is not a state per se. It is somewhat of a hybrid state, you can say, which has special status. But there have been comparisons to how the present act, although the Union government considers it to be merely a technical act done for bureaucratic reasons or to align with how the functioning of the houses work, but the present act, the language of the act is very colorable. The language of the act, in a way, speaks of one thing, and it ascertains power on the LG, Lieutenant Governor, at will, which is against the Supreme Court decision as well as against how the principle of federalism is to be enshrined. So it is essential that as people who want to abide by the Constitution, there must be efforts to resist such forms of legislation, either within Parliament as well as outside Parliament.
Yes, Pranav. I think we will see how the things pan out. Thanks, Pranav, for joining with DH Radio.
Thank you so much. I know it was a pleasure, and hoping to join you soon again.
That's all in today's episode. Tune in this evening on a news update podcast from the newsroom to catch all the exciting developments of the day and to get the news while it's still budding. For latest news and updates, log on to www.deccanherald.com. Check out our e-paper at www.deccanheraldepaper.com. To read news on the go, sign up to our Telegram channel t.me/deccanheraldnews. Keep up with the news from your interested sphere by downloading the all-new Deccan Herald app, in which you can personalize, have a quick glance at news shots, check highlights, and even listen too. You can get it from Google Play Store and Apple App Store, and you can find the links to the same in the description.